telling people that God's not doing bad things to you. That's my general major assignment. And if you've come to this church, it'll be 27 years this September. That's why I don't mind taking a little time off. It's been 27 years. 27 years. I'm guessing we preached 49. There's 52 weeks in a year. Let's say we missed 7 Sundays. What's 27 times 45? If you can't do that in your head, what's wrong with you? 27 times 45 on your iPhone, what is that? Oh, I thought you was on your iPhone. Jordan, what's 27 times 45? Huh? Say that again. Say that louder, Brian. 1,215. 1,215 times Mark Browning has stood up here, and I have to brag on myself because nobody else will. God bless y'all. 1,215 times I've stood up here, and I will guarantee you that if you listen to one of those sermons consistently, you'll discover that what I'm telling people over and over is God didn't do it to you. And people dislike me so much for that. And I genuinely thought, now I did, I was naive enough to think, John, that people would embrace that truth and run towards that truth, but it's not true. Because the reason why God's not, and by the way, me and Teresa, I found this fascinating program on Netflix about the tennis world, the pro tennis world, and this truth that I share, that God's not doing things to you, the difference, there's people that tell you that everything, this phrase, you got to learn this phrase, and you'll hear this phrase all the time, that everything happens for a reason. Well, yeah, and so it's encompassed our whole society, religious and non-religious. That's what everybody thinks. This tennis player thought that she wasn't winning her tennis matches because everything happens for a reason. You know why she wasn't winning her tennis matches? She wasn't getting her serves in. But that's God's fault. It's God's fault that I'm not getting my serves in. No, it's your fault. You're double faulting. You're having let serves. Amen. It's amazing. So anyway, God called me to tell people God's not doing it to you. God's not doing bad things to you. And, huh? God's not doing bad things to you. And people, it's so hard on me because I like people to like me. Have y'all figured that out? I like people to like me. And this message has been rejected. It's been rejected because people can go anywhere and somebody will tell them, oh, it's all happening for a reason. You lost that match to that girl because everything happens for a reason. No, you lost that match to that girl because she was better than you. I didn't win that golf tournament yesterday because I was nowhere near the best golfer out there. Can I get an amen? So biblical solutions to the 5 problems that are common to man. Notice they're biblical solutions. Here are the 5 problems, and then real quick, money. Go fast. Money, next one, right after fear, relationships, health, and death. And we taught you in this series that it's the perfect will of God for everybody not to have these problems. And yet, now again, I'm not, some people think I'm stupid, but I'm not totally stupid to not understand that even though it's not God's plan or purpose for you to have these problems, almost all of us have these problems. You know why? It's not just up to God. If it was just up to God, everybody would be born again, spirit-filled, and a Republican. Don't you shout me down because I'm preaching real good. Amen? No, everybody would love God. Nobody would want to see babies killed up to the moment of birth. I was going to say conception, but what's after conception? Birth. They want to see babies killed up to the moment of birth. They want our children. They can't have them. You can't have mine. You might give them yours, but they can't have mine. Can I get an amen? So yes, last week we talked about the biblical solutions to money, and we gave you four things. Nobody called me on the phone and said, Mark, preach that over. Preach that again. Tell me some more about finances. So I'm going to move on, but there were four words you have to know relative to money. And if you have your lesson sheet, I'm going to borrow yours again, Leslie. What's the one thing you got to do to get money? All right, so 1 Thessalonians 4:11 is on the lesson sheet. So you want to add 2 Thessalonians 3:10, and you got that for me. Y'all writing that down? And then Ephesians 4:28, you want to add that to the money column, and we'll rerun this. What's the second thing you got to know about money or you got to do with money? What's the second thing? Oh, say it. Maria, say it. See, I notice how a giver don't mind saying give. Give. You got to give. If you're going to do it God's way, see, if you're going to be stingy and not give some of your resources away, you're not doing it God's way. What about the fellow that in the parable of the talents? He buried it in the ground, and he was dumb enough to think that, that his master would be pleased. He said, at least you could have put it in the bank and drew a little interest on it. All right, so is Luke 6:38 in there? It is. Those are in there. What's the third thing you got to do with your money? Is it more important to invest money or to save money? I've got some listeners out there. Jordan, is it more important to invest money or to save money? And that's why we set you up with a Roth IRA and you put money in it this week. Can I get an amen? Again, every time I say that to my kids, they say, who is this Roth fella? And what's he got to do with anything? But you got to invest your money. Is Matthew 25:20-29 on there? Nope. Add that one. And is 2 Corinthians 12:14 on there? Thank you. And what's the fourth thing you got to do? Our favorite word to go along with self-study. What's the fourth thing you got to do?
Self-control.
If you make $1 million, but you spend $1 million in one, are you successful?
No.
You got to have self-control. You know what I've noticed? Again, nobody wanted me to talk about it again this morning, so I'm going to go forward with something. But I've been an accountant for 30-some years in Sierra Vista, and you know what I noticed? You know the businesses that are successful? It's not necessarily the ones that get a lot of revenue, although that helps. Am I right, Donnie? A lot of revenue helps, doesn't it? But you know the people that are successful are the people that know how much money they have. See, like right now, I won't tell you how much money I got in the bank for my business. If I told you, you would think, man, he's got all kinds of money. If I told you how much money I had in my bank account right now in Mark Browning CPA PLLC, you'd think, man, no wonder they're going to their lake house. But here's what people don't understand. That money has to run me till next tax season, because that's when I make the majority of my money. Now, I make some money in financial services. I'm not going to lie about that. But generally speaking, on the accounting side, the majority of my money comes in during tax season. So that money that's in my account in July the 1st has to run me till December 31st, generally speaking. Because as far as I can tell, Whitney and Christine, they tell me that they like me. They buy me presents at Christmas and they buy me presents on my birthday. But I've got to believe that if they came to work and I told them they weren't going to get paid anymore, I don't think they'd like me near as much. Are you listening to me? You know, and we got such a cool group here. And you know, this is the kind of stuff that ought to be going on in churches all over the world. And we left it to the world to teach the church. And that's why we've been a complete failure, generally speaking, because the world's going to lead you down the sewer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right, is Galatians 5:22-23 on there? It is now. And Acts 24:25. So if you will give that to my wonderful bride back there, we'll redo this lesson sheet and give you those verses. No, Okay. So this week, that's my review about money. By the way, we found out who sung Money, Money, Money. Money, Money, Money. Oh, we did, didn't we? I don't think it's still right, though. We think it was ABBA. How many of you have ever heard of ABBA? Was it ABBA or ABBA? What was their most famous song? No, Dancing Queen. You are the, on the disco, Dancing Queen. Yeah, amen. And we talked about that last week. So today we're going to talk about the subject of fear. That's your cue for fear on the screen. But I want to remind you what the sermon title is, or what the lesson title is. Notice the lesson title. Biblical solutions to the problems that are, to the five problems that are common to man. So have I told you what my general specific assignment, well, general and specific is a, that's an oxymoron. That's an oxymoron. If you can spell oxymoron, make fun of me. If you can't, be quiet. But my assignment from God has been to tell people that God didn't do it. I always like to quote Brian on that. I think he went to his grandmother's funeral, and I came back and I said, what did the preacher say? And he said, he told him God did it. How old was she? She was old, though, wasn't she? Older. Oh, that's too young. I was hoping she'd say 80. Oh, she wasn't supposed to go. You're not supposed to go at 65. You listening to me? I know. I hope not, because I'm 64. We don't want to go to 65, do we? Can I get an amen? But anyway, how'd that fit in? Oh, so my job has been to tell people God didn't do it. People don't like hearing that. But lately, I've been going on YouTube TV. Not YouTube. We've got the YouTube TV channel that has all the TV programs. But we also, you can go on just strictly YouTube. And I've been doing it primarily to listen to Andrew Womack's Bible lessons, because you can find them on YouTube, all of them, past, present, and I can pick and choose the ones I want to listen to, what I think I'm needing. And when I was doing that, can you just put his on the screen without playing it? When I was doing that, I came across a Bible lesson from this fine gentleman, this man, Dr. Frederick K.C. Price. Raise your hand. Listen to me now. I got some people in here. Raise your hand if you've never heard of him. Raise your hand if you've never heard of him. Get it up for good and high. I want everybody to see. You don't. No. That's semi-charismatic. You got to go full charismatic. See, semi's right here. You got to, boom. Raise your hand if you've never heard of Fred Price, and you hang around with these folks.
I know.
God, he's got to educate you about some things. I love you. Raise your hand if you've never heard of Fred Price. Get it up high so I can see it. Right here. Mary, you've never heard of him either. Jerry, you've never heard of him. Okay, what I'm going to share with you. So I saw this on the YouTube thing. And this is a sermon that he preached in 1988 at Oral Roberts University. I'm going to still go this route. Raise your hand if you've never heard of Oral Roberts. Oh my God, raise it up there. That's hard. Raise you. Who else? You've never heard of Oral Roberts? Golly Molly. What about over here? You've never heard of? Oh my goodness. What's that tell you, folks? Is that amazing? Huh? Oral Roberts was a famous faith healing evangelist during the 40s and 50s, during the great healing revival. And he started a school in Oklahoma called Oral Roberts University, and they just got eliminated from the College World Series and in baseball. And I mean, he was the face of the charismatic evangelical wacky movement we were all a part of. And this man right here, Fred Price, was born and raised in Los Angeles, California, in the ghetto. Or he was raised by Jehovah's Witnesses, he married his wife Betty, and Betty was a minister or a Christian, and Betty wouldn't marry him unless he became a Christian, so he became a Christian because he liked Betty. Nobody else has ever done that, have they? Nobody else has ever fooled you, have they? So he became a Christian when he married Betty, and he actually got legitimately born again. But he got stuck in Christian churches, religious Christian churches, that told him, they told him, you never know what God's going to do. Everything happens for a reason. And his great quote, oh, I love this man. I love this man. I love him. And his great quote was, hold on, dear brother. Here's what they'd tell him every Sunday. Hold on, dear brother, to God's unchanging hand. He knows what's best for you. And you know what that'll lead you to? Nothing. You know what you're going to get from God? Nothing. So anyway, somebody got a book in his hands by a fellow by the name of Kenneth Hagin. Raise your hand if you've never heard of Kenneth Hagin. Raise your hand. You have? I thought so. I hope so. It's okay. You've heard of Kenneth Hagin? Okay. And he got a book, some books by Kenneth Hagin, and at the same time that he got some books by Kenneth Hagin, he got baptized in the Holy Spirit and began and was filled with the Holy Spirit. And listen to this, all you radio and internet listeners that think, man, this guy's kind of good. He's funny. Listen to this. He was spirit-filled, and he became a tongue-talking Christian. Ooh, shalama, lalama, kalamada. Amen? And through the process of being filled with God's mighty Spirit and getting books by Kenneth Hagin, God called him to teach faith. His assignment was to teach the message of faith. And I propose to you that this sermon, it's fascinating. I found this on YouTube, and I'm gonna have you listen to it briefly. And I would recommend you go back and listen to the whole sermon. Just go back and listen to it. Get on YouTube and listen to it. But as I began to listen to it, it dawned on me what this message was. This was the message that Oral Roberts, who nobody, a lot of folks haven't heard of, to my dismay or amazement, this was the message that Oral Roberts said was the greatest sermon he'd ever heard on the message or subject of faith. And I would have to concur after I listened to it. And as I began to listen to it, God's Holy Spirit spoke to me because I am also a spirit-filled, born-again child of God. And His Holy Spirit spoke to me. The Holy Spirit of God spoke to me and said, I led you over here. You need to hear this. You need to refresh your memory about these things because faith hadn't been done away with. Now, faith got overexposed, but the subject and the message of faith is foundational and fundamental to getting something from God. Now, there were mistakes made in the movement, and there's some mistakes that he made relative to prosperity, but in general terms, I have more respect for what Fred Price did with what he learned than any other Word of Faith person, in that he took it to the ghetto of Los Angeles, built a 10,000 seat church called the Faith Dome, and got up every Sunday and did what I do, and that's take his Bible around and teach people the Word of God and put faith on the inside of them. So let me just give you just a little overview here real quick. Turn it on real quick. Because by the way, he don't pull...
the word F and make faith
Okay, now listen, again. Okay, oh, stop that right there. Stop that right there. Woo! Divinely led by God. Does anybody have any idea? By the way, this was so good for me. I mean, I'm telling you, I got goosebumps all that night. This was so good for me because in the crowd were all the famous people that I had come up under. Marilyn Hickey was there. If you don't know her name, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand anymore. Forget about it. Forget about it. But does anybody have any idea who this guy is? Not the white boy. Does anybody have any idea who this good-looking African-American is? No. It's not Richard Pryor. I don't think you're going to know this one. Brian, I don't think you even know this one. This is before y'all's time, before you and me. I've never talked about this man. This man's name, and I don't want to get bogged down on this, and you got to let me know where I'm at on time because I haven't even got to my lesson. But this man's name is Carlton Pearson, and he was a graduate of Oral Roberts University, and he was the golden child of Oral Roberts and all of them. They loved him. They loved to promote black people. How many of you know we always like to promote a good black person? No, because we want people to know we're not prejudiced. I guarantee you have a guest speaker come in here, and I guarantee you they'll look out over the crowd and they'll always ask Bryant to come up because God's got a word for him. You know why they got a word for Bryant? Because he's black. And he's young. And he's got some money. And he's good looking. Right, Jeff? No. By the way, people said, well, if you're judging anybody based on their skin color, you're prejudiced. You're racist. Amen? Now, you're not racist and you're not prejudiced if you don't want your kids to go through the transgenderation process. You're normal. You're normal. Do you hear me? You're normal if you don't want your kids cut up and sliced up and diced up. You're normal. But anyway, this guy is Carlton Pearson. And he got off and gave all the charismatic face stuff up and became what's called a universalist. Does anybody know what a universalist is? He believes that nobody is going to hell. Now, I can't believe that because there's got to be some people in Washington, D.C. going that direction. Now, there may be some folks in Uganda that's never heard the message, and I'll leave that in God's hands. But there's multitudes upon multitudes of people that if they don't repent, they're going to hell. Now, should we want anybody to go to hell? No. Has God made a way for nobody to have to go to hell? Yes. But there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Can I get an amen? And so he's out of favor with everybody. Old Carlton's on the outside looking in. And Fred actually calls him out in this sermon right in public. This is before he was falling out of favor. He calls him out because I guess he'd gotten up the morning before and told everybody how hard it is to be a Christian and started bawling and squalling, and everybody bawled and squalled with him. Because if I came here on Sunday morning and told everybody how tough it is and I don't know why God's got me going through all this, I'd get more people. Instead, I have to tell you that the just shall live by faith. That Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my burden is light and my yoke is easy. I've got it backwards, but you know the principle. So Fred preached this sermon, and it was considered to be the greatest message on faith, and I remember that it circulated throughout all the churches in a cassette tape. And I had one of them, and I listened to it. And so let me give you some general guidelines to what it is you have to constantly remind people about faith and how you can receive from God. Because the purpose of this conference, I'm good on time, Honorable Jordan. The purpose of this conference was signs and wonders. And Fred got up at the end of it and said, look, you people that are going to wait on signs and wonders, you're going to die because you can't guarantee signs and wonders, but you can always guarantee faith. Somebody said, how do I know that? Ask the woman with the issue of blood. She didn't get healed with signs and wonders. She got healed because of her faith. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Ask Jairus, because his daughter got raised from the dead. She didn't get raised from the dead because of signs and wonders. She got raised from the dead because Jesus told her. Well, first of all, he made a most remarkable positive confession in that he got to Jesus and he said, if you'll come and lay your hands on her, she'll be healed. He didn't say, if you come and lay your hands on her, she might be healed. You never know what God's going to do. He didn't say that. If he had said it, Jesus wouldn't have went with him. I can prove that to you, but I don't have time to do everything in a 55-minute sermon. So I'm recommending that you go on YouTube and listen to this fully, completely. And then I'm recommending that not just hear what I say more than one time, go on the internet and listen to it again. Forget about being that it's me. Forget about that. Just see that it's the Word of God being ministered. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Can I get an amen? So he gets up in front of this whole conference, and he basically tells them, you know, y'all can sit around here and wait for signs and wonders if you want to, but I'm going to keep teaching people faith. Now, the problem with teaching people faith is it means that it's not just up to God. Real quick, I'm going to go here because the Lord's instructed me to. Mark chapter 6, around verse 5. Real quick, I'm going to go here, and then I'm going to get into the fundamentals of faith real quick with you, because you're going to go home and listen to Fred's sermon on... How many of you will have access to YouTube and be able to do what I just said? You'll be able to do that. It's called The Other Side of Signs and Wonders by Frederick Casey Price. By the way, he died at 89. He got... COVID got him. And somebody said, see, he didn't know anything about faith. Now, come on now. How many of you know 89 is not bad? And the story was that he got COVID and he got a glimpse of glory. And when he got let me tell you something. If I get a glimpse of glory and my option is to stay here or to go there, I'm gone. I'm out of here. It gets old. It gets old sometimes. Again, we're not trying to glorify. I don't want to glorify the devil, but it's once you see the other side. And anyway, look at here at Mark chapter 6. Starting around verse 5, I said, right? Verse 2. And I'm into 30 minutes. Let's go down. Anyway, let me fill you in. He goes, he's been ministering, he's done all kinds of amazing things. Chapter 6 is after the woman with the issue of blood, after Jairus. He hadn't fed the 5,000 yet, or the 15 or 20,000 yet, but he goes to his hometown. And when he goes to his hometown, they recognize him as Jesus the carpenter. You know, think about that for a minute. You know, he had a job, he was a carpenter. The creator of the universe actually got up in the daytime for 30 years, and just worked. Lived among the people. He had brothers and he had sisters. Did y'all hear that? All you, my dear Catholic friends that's listening by radio, we love you. But Mary had children. A passel of them. A bunch of them. So they see him. He comes to town. He starts to minister. And they say, well, we know that fella. Because he wasn't remarkable in his looks. He was completely physically fit, because I know he was. He let him up on a high mountain, remember that? And I know something else too. He never overate. He didn't do like I do and have too many bananas. You listening to me? No, see, you can't overeat. He only ate to live. He didn't eat to live. He didn't live to eat. See, again, if you can spell oxymoron, criticize. That's an oxymoron. Where was I going with that? Oh, so they just saw him as the carpenter. Well, we know his mama. We know his brothers. I've dated some of his sisters. And look here. Look what it says in verse 5. Now you can do it. Now he could do no mighty work there. Notice it doesn't say that he wouldn't do any mighty work there. It said he couldn't do any mighty work there. Everybody say couldn't. He wouldn't. No, if he wouldn't, that'd been another thing. It said he couldn't do, he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. Verse 6, Verse 6, watch this. The great enemy of the church, the great enemy of God. It's not the devil. It's not Joe Biden. It's not, who's this attorney general that's running the world? It's not Garland. It's not Kamala Harris, although that would be close. No, the great enemy of the church is this word right here. And he marveled because of their unbelief. That's the only thing that can keep God from working in our lives is unbelief. So notice this. Got this by revelation. You know what I'd have done? You know what most people would have done when you get rejected? You know what you want to do when you get rejected? Come on now, let's be honest. You want to go home, get in the bed, and pull the covers over your head. I know what I'm talking about. That's what you want to do. When you get rejected, rejection's a hard thing. Amen? People want to be accepted. But he didn't do that. He did this. He went about the villages. He went about in the villages in a circuit. He just kept going around. And what did he do? Teaching. That's what's needed in the church. More than preaching. More than charismatic contemporary music. More than smoke and lights. And I can't think of all the famous fancy words for it. You know. No more than that, what we need is to be taught. We need to be taught. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Amen? So let's put the word. So fear is, what's the biblical solution to fear? I'm gonna talk about it. And I'm going to tell you that it'll fit here and it'll fit in all the rest of the lessons or all the rest of the problems. So I'm going to give you a verse in 2 Timothy 1:7. Famous verse. It ought to be a verse everybody that has a Bible that's no longer, again, I do my Bible reading on YouTube, but or you version. But if you have a Bible, this ought to be one of the verses you have memorized. Notice it says, let's say it out loud, everybody, come on. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Say it again. Now let's dissect this a little bit and let's notice who our audience is. Who doesn't have a spirit of fear? Christians, born again people. In this Bible lesson, or during this series of lessons, we taught you that you're a new creature. You're a born again new creature. Your spirit man, the man on the inside, the real you, has been recreated in the image and likeness of God, of Jesus Christ. It has. You have the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwelling on the inside of you. Amen. You're a joint heir with Jesus. You're not an under heir. You're a joint heir. When God looks at your spirit, he sees the Lord Jesus Christ. He sees what Jesus did. You're righteous. You're redeemed. You have wisdom. You have grace. You have love. You have joy. You have self-control. I know that's shocking. I know that is shocking. That's what I should be telling those bananas on that counter every day. I have self-control. You're not going to get me to eat more than one. And it's not just bananas. Have you figured it out? It's not just bananas. My son called on the phone last night and said, I'm leaving work at 6:30. He said, I'm going to Jersey Mike's. He said, you want anything? I said, no, I don't. I stand in the awesome power of self-control. I said, sure, bring me a number 56 with some smokehouse barbecue chips. Should you eat that at 6:30 at night? You shouldn't eat that at 4:30. And if you do eat it at 4:30, that should be the last thing. Anyway, you know you got self-control on the inside of you? You do. You're made. You've been created in the image of him who created you. So when God says that he hadn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, it's true. But did you know that this verse of scripture has been around for 2,000 years, and yet most Christian people are absolutely taken captive by fear on a regular, consistent, daily basis? And do you know why? It's not because, oh, that's That's, you know, everything happens for a reason. I'm scared because, you know, God wanted that other girl to win that match. He didn't want me to win. He don't care who wins. He wants you to do your best and try your best. Use your skills the best. And may the best person win. Man, are we ever going to figure out what happened at the beginning of creation? Are we ever going to see how it worked out? That God made it all. He made it all. The last thing he made was this wonderful thing called man and woman. And then he turns to the man and the woman and he said, I'm going to turn it all over to you. It's all yours. And he proved it. He proved it by, he didn't name a thing he'd created till he brought it to the man, and then the man named it. And then he put him in the garden, chapter 2, verse 15. He said he put him in the garden to do what to the garden? To tend and keep it. It's absolutely remarkable to me. It's shocking to me how uninformed we are, how stupid we are. I wasn't going to say stupid and it came out. I was going to say uninformed and it just blurted out. You can't read the Bible in sincerity. But I guess if you read it under whoever taught it to you, I guess you get confused. But you can't read the Bible and not see that there's a cause and an effect. That God does certain things, but there's certain things you got to do to have God's things that he does for you work for you. See, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. But people are perishing by the millions and the billions because it's just not up to God. And that's why God raised up people like Fred Price to teach about faith. Now, he had to come along later and supplement it and let people know that it's faith based on grace. It's not faith alone, it's faith and grace. Understanding that what God's going to do for you, he's done for everybody, and you appropriate it by faith through the grace that's been provided to you. In other words, this verse of scripture was given to us by grace. God darn, can't get over there. See, by grace, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. How do I make that work for me? It says that's what God gave me. Hebrews 4:2. Listen to it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. Listen to this. Listen, mark this verse in your Bible. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. What do I got to do with 2 Timothy 1:7? What do I got to mix with it? What do I got to mix with it? Say it with me. What do I got to mix with it? I got to believe it. When Jesus came into his hometown and said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor and to heal the brokenhearted, those people had to believe it. And because they didn't believe it, he couldn't operate his power in his hometown. It wasn't God's fault. It was our fault. And therein is the reason why the faith message, when it's understood, most people reject it like they reject my message, which is God didn't do it to you, because you have something you have to do. And once you tell people there's something they have to do, they just rather turn on the TV and watch Gunsmoke. If you don't know what Gunsmoke is, you probably are the same people that don't know who Oral Roberts is. Can I get an amen? So God had me go over here for me, not for you. See, I need to be ministered to too. And by the way, that's why I listen to my own sermons. I listen to them. And a lot of times I get critiqued by the Holy Spirit on some things, but primarily I listen to them because I want to hear what I said. Because most of what I say is God's word. Again, remember it was the hometown that Jesus wasn't received in. It's the same way with us. My relatives, there's no way they can't. They wouldn't push a like button on Facebook about my sermon if their life depended on it. There's no way he can know anything. He's that stupid guy I was raised with. I'm not stupid anymore. The reason I'm not stupid is because I know the Bible. I know the Word of God. And I'm not living in the totality of it, but I know enough of it to know when I can smell a rat. And I've been doing this for 1,215 Sundays. Bless God, that's worth something. And my energy level hadn't decreased. Jan, I mean it. Actually, it's gotten better. I hit a bad spot about 2012. And God rescued me. He rescued me through grace. Through grace. Y'all see that? What do I got to do for 2 Timothy 1:7 to work for me? I got to believe it. I got to appropriate it into my life. I got to. Let me show you this verse. This is one of the famous verses. Donnie's mom, Jerry, made us, I don't know what you made us a banner with this verse. This used to be my go-to verse. Hebrews 11:6. I'm going to get up from underneath that speaker. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Again, I'm hitting the high spots. You can go to that sermon on the YouTube. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must, everybody say must. You know, should, you know, if you feel like it, you know, if it just, if the Spirit moves you that direction, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Again, not just up to God. Again, 2 Timothy 1:7, for it to work. For you to literally be pleased, for God to be pleased with you, you have to get in your Bible. First of all, you got to get your Bible open. Go to 2 Timothy 1:7. You got to get your Bible open. You got to look at that verse. You got to understand that that verse is written to you if you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian, it's not written to you. And here's the other thing, and I wish I could get ministers to understand. Oh, I wish I could get them to understand it. Figure out who your audience is. Don't beat up saints when you get them. Some of you think I'm beating y'all up this morning, but I'm really not. I mean, I'm trying to encourage you to understand what you have in Christ. I'm not telling you what a terrible, rotten rascal you are. I don't have to. No. But what I'm saying is, figure out the audience. If the audience is Christians, tell Christians what they have. So you got to understand that that verse of Scripture, you got to read that verse of Scripture, and it's got to dawn on you on the inside of yourself, in the core of your being, it's got to dawn on you. That's for me. God hadn't given me a spirit of fear. He's given me a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Gosh, there's so many ways I got to go here, but he's put 45 minutes up. And he talks about this in his sermon, how it's, you get people around you and you want to try to put everything in you can because you don't know if you'll see them again. And that's been very true here. Can I get an amen? Man, whenever we get a new person in here, we try to give you everything we got because we may not ever see you again. But I want to show you something about this, see? So the first thing you got to do is get the information. You got to mix your faith with the information. And then when you mix your faith with the information, you have to act like you really believe the information you received. The woman with the issue of blood said, if I may touch but the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. If she'd have kept on walking instead of touching the hem of his garment, she'd have never got it. So one of the great criticisms of the faith message, and you're going to get this if you go to YouTube, you're going to find out that what they accused us of was creating Christian science. And I don't know if you know anything about Christian science, but Christian science is a cult, and it's mind science. In other words, you're able to train your mind to tell your mind you're not really sick. Well, no. We're not saying that we're not sick if we're sick. We're simply saying that we know what the cure for sickness is. And so we don't identify with what we know we have. We identify with what the Word of God says we have. Very, very different. The great illustration of that is found in Romans 4. Listen to this very carefully. It's found in Romans 4, verse 19, wasn't it, Therese? Abraham was almost 100 years of age. His wife was 14 years younger, I think, so it would make her 86. Anyway, how many of you know, elderly couple, past the age of childbearing. But God had told him that he would be the father of many nations, and he told him it's not going to be through Ishmael, it's going to be through Isaac. See, Abraham thought he'd work the plan out for God and make it easy on him, and he'd go into a tent, sleep with another woman, and have a baby with her, and that'd be the one. No, you can't do it, but you got to go God's way. See, there's so many things. You got to go God's way. God said, no, that's not the way it's going to work. The way it's going to work is you're going to have a son through that woman that you're legally married to, and that's the one that's going to be the promise of the seed to come. Okay? Now, it took 15, 20 years for him to get the faith to have that, for him to realize that God's telling me the truth. And so what did he have to do? He was not weak in faith. Now, don't let that word weak in faith, don't get turned over into measurement. Because it's simply saying that weak faith, everybody has faith if you're a Christian. You have faith if you're a Christian. You got saved by faith. Faith came to you when you were born again. Faith's one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's not, don't see that word weak as a measurement. See it as am I operating the faith I have weekly? Or weekly, not weekly, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But weak, am I being weak with what I have? Or am I being strong with what I have? The reason why I got to hit that is because that's the great mistake that got made in the faith movement. The faith movement inferred to people that certain people had more faith than other people. Everybody listening to Fred Price at Oral Roberts University, most of those people thought, boy, I wish I had his faith. You do. It was given to you at the new birth. And they didn't explain that correctly. If they did, I didn't hear it. Because I figured it out. Andrew Womack taught it to me, and I figured it out. See, we all have faith. It's weak faith if we don't use it. It's strong faith if we do. Everybody got that? Because see what the devil's going to... The reason why this is so important, and the Holy Spirit's making me emphasize this, is the reason why that's so important is that if you don't understand that, the devil will always tell you that you don't have enough faith. He'll always tell you that. Your problem is you don't have the faith Mark Browning has. You have every bit of the faith Mark Browning has. We all have the same measure of it. What you have to do is overcome what your physical eyes see. You have to overcome it. And again, you can see why people gave this up. Come on now. I can go to church, I can watch a light show, a smoke show, a contemporary music show. I can have a minister preach a dynamic sermon over the loudspeakers, and then I can go home. And life will still be the same, and the problems will still be the same. Or you can tap into some of this and see some things change for the good. Amen. You won't win every time. But if you win some, it's better than the Oakland A's do. Amen? So what was the problem? And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead. See, he didn't consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old in the deadness of Sarah's womb. I got to go. It's 50 minutes already. Praise God. I'm going to pick it up. All right, so go to... How do I make this work relative to fear? Go to that verse. Let me show you real quick. Let me show you relative to the verse. See, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. Say it one more time. Let's do it. For God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What do I have to overcome? I have to overcome the feeling of fear. I have to overcome the feeling of fear. If I'm scared to go out somewhere and do something, I have to overcome that by going and doing it anyway. See? It's the same thing. If I'm afraid of getting on an airplane, I got to go and get on that airplane. Amen? See, that's how it works. See, it's not, and that's how it works. I've got to believe. I got to mix my faith with this verse, and I've got to say to my being, to my personage, I got to speak. See, faith speaks. We having the same spirit of faith, we believe, and therefore we speak. Faith speaks. I got to speak to my mind. I've got to speak to my emotions. I've got to speak to people, and I've got to tell them, you know, God didn't give me a spirit of fear, but a love and a power and of a sound mind. You're going to need that in this generation we're in now, because there's going to be a lot of things that will make you afraid. Amen. That's how it works. Somebody said, well, I like it better the other way. I like just leaving it up to God. I know that's how you like it. That's why those church buildings are full, and they got fools in them. I don't mean that unkind. I'm just telling you. Some of the things I hear out of the mouths of Christians, I want to just, and you're going to hear this on Sunday sermon. I mean, this guy here, he ain't cut no slack. Does that make sense to everybody? God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. And if I'm going to operate that and put that to work in my life, I have to do it regardless of how I feel. Here's what you got to learn about faith. Faith is not a feeling. Faith is a fact of God's word. I'm going to close with this verse right here. I'm going to close with it. Hebrews 11:1. And you'll learn this if you go to YouTube. You'll learn what he did. Oh, it's transformative when you see it. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Say that verse with me.
Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
The Amplified Bible, I don't have time to turn there. The Amplified Bible says the evidence of things not perceived by the five physical senses, what you can taste, what you can see, what you can hear, what you can feel. What's the fifth one? What you can smell. It's not perceived by those things. Faith is simply believing what God's word says. So I don't have time to develop it. He develops it on YouTube. The Bible talks about Romans 10:8, talks about that it's the word of faith we preach. When you substitute the word of God for the word faith here, watch what happens. Watch what happens. Somebody said, and by the way, this works for healing too. This works for healing. This works for relationships. This works for all that. See, watch this. Now the word of, leave the verse up, Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1, it's the word of faith we preach. Now the word of God is the substance of things hoped for. The word of God is the evidence of things not seen. In other words, 2 Timothy 1:7 is the evidence I need. I don't have to feel it. I don't have to see it manifest before I believe it. The word of God says it, so that's what I confess. That's what I believe. That's what I meditate on day and night. And then I'll make my way prosperous, and then I'll have good success. Oh, I taught this for the first, what we've been, 27 years, and I got the revelation of grace in 2012. I keep having y'all do math in public, and that's a bad thing. But what is 1996 to 2012? Whatever that is. I've taught this pretty consistently. Amen? I did. But there's so many more things I know now to help people with. I know so much more about it. And, you know, and I also recognize that a lot of people are just not going to take the time and make the energy or make the effort to do anything different. But this is how you can get something from God if you don't have a sign and wonder operating. Amen. If fear is something you're dealing with, the way you can overcome it is to believe the word of God and not believe the feeling of fear. And the way you show that you're not believing the feeling of fear is you don't let the fear keep you from doing what it is you need to do. Take it to healing. Take it to sickness and disease. You don't deny the sickness. You don't deny the symptom. You don't deny that it's there, but you don't pay attention to that. You don't give heed to that. You give heed to the word of God that says, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. And if I am healed, I got to, on some level, I got to act like I'm healed. So if my back locked up on me, on some level, I got to walk around like my back is just loosey-goosey. Although I'm not going to twist and turn too much. Amen. No Elvis moves this morning. But sooner or later, you're going to have to act like you're healed. And you're going to have to talk like you're healed. And you're going to have to quit hanging around with people that want to keep you sick. Because, you know, I want the sympathy that comes with sickness. Well, that's wonderful. But, again, see, people are going to dissect my message. People that don't like me, people that are looking for a reason to turn, to criticize, and they're going to say you're just mean to people and you don't like them, and that's what they told Fred Price for all the years he preached. But it's not because we don't like people, we don't love people. It's because there is a way to receive, and it's called faith. And it's faith that operates what God has already given us by grace. It's not because you're special. It's not because you have more faith than me. It's not because I have more faith than Jazz or I have more faith than Maria. It's because God has given to each one of us the measure of faith, and he gave us the measure of faith so we could overcome the world. Real quick, 1 John 5:4, and stand up. Jordan, I think you're faster on those cards than James is. You can't say it all, can you? Can you? Can you say it all? You want to say this one? For whatever is born of God, say it with me, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Now, you know, this is not my main assignment, but it's one of the things that I have to teach on, because my main assignment is to tell you that God didn't do it. But when I tell you that God didn't do it, then I have to tell you, well, if God didn't do it, then how do I get out of it? Not by hoping. Not by wishing, but by believing the word of God. Oh, praise God, I'm healed. You rotten devil. Praise God, I'm healed. Hallelujah, thank you. If you've been listening to my radio or internet and you just think, man, what in the world have I tuned into? You've tuned into somebody that's sharing with you the word of God, and the most important thing we can share with you is Jesus Christ. If we haven't shared Jesus with you, we haven't done our job. We want you to escape the corruption that's in the world through lust, and we want you to become a partaker of God's kingdom through the Son of His love. By simply receiving Him, God will give you a new nature, and He'll give you the faith you need to overcome the world. What a deal! What a deal! So say this with me. Say it with me. Say, dear God, I want to receive Jesus. I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection. So by faith, I believe that He died for my sins and He rose from the dead for my justification. I receive Him now as Lord in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, you're a child of God. You have just as much faith as the minister that preached to you this morning. But you need to get your hands on a Bible. You need to quit going to doubt peddling churches, and you need to find a church and a message that'll build you up instead of tear you down. Lord, we give you all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor in the holy and glorious name of Jesus. And everybody said, Amen. Now listen, we're not going to have church Sunday, but I will let everybody know when we've done the Zoom service, because I'm thinking.